Our scripture reading for today is Luke 1, 5 through 23. Listen now to the word of the Lord. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. The word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. I'm going to pray for us before we begin. Lord, we thank you so much for the reading of your word. Your words are like a sword, a double-edged sword. It pierces deeper. And so, Lord, even if we walk away with just these words, Lord, may we have a heart to hear. May we have ears to hear and eyes to see what you're trying to do here today. We thank you, Lord. We invite you in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Morning, church. We're only now in the second week of Advent. We started a new sermon series last week. Pastor Dave kind of launched us off. We are now moving through the book of Luke. And if you're following along in the daily readings, I know we're not at Luke yet. We're still at the end of Second Kings right now. But on the 10th of this month, very soon, it'll kick in and we're going to start Luke together. And so we encourage you guys to read along with us. It's going to be a slow reading. So if you are so encouraged, I know that 2 Kings right now, if you've been reading them, they're kind of long, right? The section is very long. But these are going to be much slower because we're going to be doing a slow reading through Luke. So not only do we encourage you to just read it, but also to write it out as well. And I don't have one of those fancy books with the writing on the side, but hey, any notebook will do, right? Anywhere. And so you can kind of move along with us today. If you're not signed up for that, you can go to the website, and then there's a way to sign up for that. But we are definitely in the season of Christmas. If you don't know that, just drive around town, and you see a lot of decorations. We went to the mall the day after Thanksgiving, and I was like, wow, it's intense. The decorations and just commercials and just everything bombarding us, we know that we're in the season of Advent. But the Bible has a way of also bringing us into this season as well. And so here we are at the beginning of Luke on the second week of Advent. And it's kind of this countdown to Christmas, and how fitting it is that our coming King has an interesting chain of events that lead to his birth. And so Luke is giving us this kind of walk into the coming of our King. We come early in the Gospel of Luke. Literally, it's like, bam, the first section that we start to see is about Zechariah and Elizabeth, who are parents of who we know is John the Baptist. So Zechariah's story is this necessary introduction to the story of our coming King, because John the Baptist, so John's story, is the precursor to Jesus's. And then the birth of John the Baptist, it was a prophecy that was kind of coming in all the way through the Old Testament, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. This prophecy of John the Baptist, you see it in every single gospel of, you know, the New Testament. And so the story of the birth of Jesus is recorded in like every single gospel in some way or form, but this story of Zechariah is actually only recorded in the book of Luke, so you won't read about this in other gospels. And Pastor Dave mentioned last week that Luke is trying to give us certainty that Jesus is the Savior. And so when we read this story, we mostly think that this is kind of the origin story of John the Baptist. And yes, while that is true, we read this story, but it's actually a story not just about John the Baptist, obviously in his birth, but it's a lesson in encountering the Lord. It's a lesson on encounter. It's about a lesson that God wants to teach us in order so that we can respond and we can hear what he has for us. So here we go. We find that Zechariah was a man of God. He was a law-abiding priest, and his wife, Elizabeth, was also from a priestly lineage. She's said to be from the daughters of Aaron. And if you guys remember, Aaron was the brother of Moses, and it's a priestly family. And Luke was very specific about this detail that he puts in. So the priestly order, or the course that it's called, like another name for that is called the course, was started during the time of King David, and the descendants of Aaron were divided into 24 divisions, and each division would rotate throughout the year to do different, like, priestly duties. So they all had these duties that rotated between the 24 divisions. Abijah was the eighth division. This is where Zechariah is. He's in the eighth in the rotation of 24, and so they only serve 1 week twice a year. So the likelihood of Zechariah being chosen to go light the incense at this time was 1 in 24,000, right? It's such a tiny little sliver of a chance. So 24 divisions, there are about 1,000 priests per division. So the chances are slim, okay? So this specific duty of burning incense was considered extremely sacred. It was prestigious and sacred. You know, when we were going through 2 Chronicles, if you remember one of our kings, King Uzziah, he entered the temple trying to do this to light the incense himself, and he is not supposed to do that. The priests stop him, and then as a punishment, he breaks out in leprosy, right? So there was routines and there was traditions even in the preparation to perform these duties. There was ritual purification, there was consecration, and for any of these priestly duties, and this was one of them. So they would light the incense twice a day, morning and evening, and during the offering times. So one priest per day, twice a day. And it was offered at the table of incense. And you're probably like, okay, where's the table of incense? But the table of incense was right outside the Holy of Holies. It was the closest any ordinary priest could get to the Holy of Holies. In order for you to do this duty, they cast lots. It was a lot system. And so by the time the lot falls on Zechariah, if it does, this is like a once-in-a-lifetime chance, right? So we know that he's an older gentleman who probably never did this priestly duty before in his career as a priest. So while for Zechariah, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, for priests in general, it was actually a very common duty. The who gets to do it is unique, but the thing that the incense lighting itself was a really everyday thing that happened in the temple. It was a regular duty. So here is where the story is unfolding. When God wants to speak to us, he uses a lot of different ways. When I was in teaching in Graceway Elementary, we went over this a lot. I bet you if you asked the kids about how God speaks to us, I bet you they could spout it off pretty quickly. But when I was younger in high school, the first discipleship group I ever was in, we did the book Encountering God. I was in high school. And I believe at some point in Graceway's history, you have done this book, Experiencing God by Blackaby and King. It's a workbook, and it has stood the test of time. It's one of those books that I really do recommend to people to kind of redo in different seasons of their life. That one and Purpose-Driven Life are two books that I always kind of be like, oh, it's a book, good book to kind of like go up on. Because, yeah, it talks about how God reveals himself to us. So we experience God through the Bible. We experience God through prayer. We experience God through our circumstances, the church or other believing people, and we experience God through his creation or nature. These are very simple ways in which God speaks to us, and we should be actually very vigilant to sense where God is trying to talk. I was talking to somebody, and they were telling me that they feel the most, like the presence of God the most when they're out in nature, and they feel the presence when they're walking around his creation. And it says in the Bible, in Romans, it says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. And then all heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." And so there's people that feel the closest when they are walking in God's creation. Generally, if you ask people, how do you experience God, or how does God talk to you, this prayer is probably the number one thing that pops into people's heads. Prayer is probably one of the most, common. I don't like to use that word, common, but it's the way that we think of when we think of communication with God. And all throughout the New Testament, Old Testament, I feel like I could fill up. We could stay here all day and talk about how many prayers are prayed, but that one's pretty straightforward. So God talks to us through prayer. God also uses circumstances to speak to his people. Esther, she was used at such a time as this, and she became a queen at a pivotal moment in the history of the Jewish people. Joseph, he rose to power in Egypt right when a famine was about to hit and literally wipe out God's people. And God opens and closes doors through our circumstances. The Bible is another way that we encounter God, and it's filled. I feel like the Bible is an encounter testimony, and some are very specific to particular persons, people. So, for example, Moses, when he encounters God through a burning bush, that is an exclusive encounter. We don't see anybody else experience God through a burning bush, right? And then Moses' story, if you read through it, he has so many exclusive, miraculous signs and wonders, exclusive encounters, but we get to witness that from the testimony of the writing. Noah was asked to build a boat, another exclusive encounter. Jacob gets to wrestle with God, exclusive encounter. There are some that are not so exclusive, right? Some are audible voice. There's many people in the Bible that hear an audible voice from God. I have actually met people that have heard an audible voice, and they hear from God, Adam and Eve, Abraham, Samuel, many of the prophets, right? Another way that we experience God is through dreams or visions, these supernatural things. In today's passage, Zechariah is encountering God through an angel. and the angel of the Lord. And there's lots of angel encounters recorded in the Bible. In verse 11, it says, "And there appeared to him," and him means Zechariah, "an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John.'" So Zechariah went to the temple that day, business as usual, right? He went to the temple that day with all ritual, but no worship. And that's why when he sees this angel, he's encountering God literally in the form of an angel. He's surprised. Of all the places to expect God to be, it was his temple that he was walking into. It was so unexpected that he would show up, that God would show up. And church, is that not us as well? When we come into this space, this place called church, do you expect to see God here? Do you expect to encounter the Holy Spirit? Do you expect God in your daily lives, when you're reading through your QTs, those Bible passages? While we are rereading through the Kings, did you sense the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Or was it just another, just tick of the box? Sometimes I think we forget that God is speaking to us. And for some, I hear this all the time, it's very difficult for you to hear from God on a regular basis. So here we have Zechariah, who goes into the temple to fulfill his priestly duties. And lo and behold, he's encountered by an angel. And the angel says, what all angels say when they kind of come in front of people, they say, "Don't be afraid." And then he gives him the big news that his wife will have a bear child. And here's Zechariah's response, okay? In 18, it says, "Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years.' And the angel answered him, 'I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news.'" So basically, the angel is saying, dude, I'm standing right here. I just told you. What is so difficult to understand? And so Zechariah knew the scriptures. He was a priest. He knew the stories of encounter, the stories of barren women or barren couples becoming blessed with a child is not a new story of the Bible. Sarah and Abraham, Samson's mother, Hannah, Rebecca, he knew all these stories. But knowledge of the head is very different from knowing of the heart. Do you agree? I wonder what was going through Zechariah's mind when the news of a child is starting to like sink into him. If you're a parent, think about all the things that are going through your mind when you're preparing for a child. When Sarah heard that she would conceive a baby, she laughed. She was well beyond childbearing years. I bet she herself was like, this is kind of awesome, but this is kind of, right? I bet Elizabeth too, she's older in years, and she's saying, wow, this is kind of awesome. This is a prayer answered, but there's still all these questioning things and moments. And God offends the mind to reveal the heart. He offends by the people he chooses. God offends in the manner in which he chooses to speak to us. And God offends people in what he asks them to do. Some folks expect God to always speak to them how they want to be spoken to. So we put God in this little box and we say, God, I want you to speak to me and reveal yourself to me just this way. It's very backwards, don't you think? The message God wants to give, it sometimes comes through people, the church, other believing people, our community. The hard part about when a message comes through people or our church or the people in this church is that people are not perfect and we are incredibly flawed. Pastors are flawed. Leaders are flawed. We're all flawed. Yet this is the way that God speaks to us, and he did this through prophets, right? Not every time, but sometimes. A biblical example would be, you know, prophets that he sent to reprimand, to warn, encourage, to bring words of love, hope, prophecy, and so on. They weren't chosen because they were perfect, right? I always wondered why God would use flawed people like us in order to give his messages. It's like coming to a yearly anniversary for me to remember my dad. My dad passed away about a year ago, and so I've been kind of thinking a lot about him. And he was not perfect by any means. He was a flawed person. But there were times when he would speak to me about things, and I would know that God was speaking through him. He would say stuff to me that I know without a doubt, I was like, oh, the Holy Spirit is stirring my heart. The words that he's saying are true and from God. And many times I would want to reject those words because it came through a flawed person. But sometimes that's the way in which God wants to speak. There are people in our community that when you see them, you kind of want to run the other way. They're kind of the people you're like, and you don't want to see very much. As soon as you see them, you turn around the other way. And you think to yourself, God, why is this person at my church, right? That person God can use to speak into your life. God uses the barren couple, a questioning priest, and Zechariah's story is a powerful testimony about encounter of the Lord. And this community, us, that we're sharing this experience through Zechariah's story, that's basically what the Bible is. It's a testimony of God and how God's people have encountered him. And then we continue that story together. So jumping back into the story of Zechariah, he was in the temple for like a long period of time. So his community recognized, oh, something's up. Verse 20 said, all the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. They might not know exactly what's going on, but they did know that something was different. And when he came out without being able to speak, the people around him naturally had to hear the account of the angel, and then they also get to rejoice together through the birth of their child. If the Bible is the greatest resource for knowing God and experiencing God, then why is it so surprising when God speaks? Why is it so surprising when God shows up? I love Zechariah's response. It's so real because I probably would have responded the exact same way. His response is our collective response in such a mind-blowing situation. But the thing is, it really shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Zechariah was birthed into a priesthood, so was his wife. As soon as he was chosen by Lot that day, when he was supposed to go into the temple, he should have known right away, as soon as he's chosen, to identify that God was doing something in his life and that God was on the move. That should have been that little bell that rang in his heart already. Oh, something is coming, right? God speaks through our circumstances. And so God was showing him through his circumstance that something was shifting. And Zechariah's chance to be picked, again, was so slim that he had this lifetime of not being picked. So when he is picked, he should have realized, hey, God is on the move. Something is happening. I should pay attention. There are examples of people who are actually very ready to hear. So later on, this chapter right after in Luke chapter 2, you meet Anna and Simeon. These are believers that instantaneously they see an infant Jesus and they know right away that he's the Messiah. There are people who are ready in the Bible. You know, we come to Sundays, we wake up early, we get ready, we do our morning things. Some of you have a morning ritual of drinking coffee or tea. We get dressed, we get our Bibles, we get into our cars. If you have children, that's significantly much harder, right? You have to like get them dressed, put on their clothes, get them fed, put them in the car, get them here. Maybe you come to church and you are on serving somewhere, you're setting up tables and chairs. If you're on fellowship team, you're doing food, or if you're doing communion things, whatever it is, maybe this is your routine. This is most people's ritual to come to church. But shouldn't coming to church be something different? Do you come with expectation to meet the Lord here? The duty is to worship the Lord, but instead of going into the temple to experience the Lord and come to worship, the opportunity was lost in the routine of lighting incense. And that's why Zechariah, he comes and he's so surprised. And then this priesthood that he's a part of, we have been rebirthed into that priesthood through Jesus. So we are now those chosen. We are that chosen priesthood, a holy nation. So we should expect to hear from him. We should long to hear from God. There is an almost routine thing that happens during this season, right? It's like clockwork. As soon as Halloween is over, all the decorations start going up. They almost skip over Thanksgiving, a few leaves and pumpkins here and there. But literally, there's like this almost ritual that happens that leads in. But this should not be about the busyness of the season. Advent was here, it's here so that it readies our heart. It makes us prepared so that we may have our eyes open and our ears open and our hearts open to see what God is trying to do, how God is trying to bring encounter in your daily lives. I pray that encountering God may become a daily testimony in our church. I pray that we be open to how the Lord wants to meet us, even in the ways that we kind of question mark. Let's testify and share the encounters we have with the Holy Spirit. This is what the community is about, where we share with one another what the Lord is doing during the week, and pray for each other to experience the Lord in a new and deeper way. And may the story of Zechariah, this story, be a reminder that God is speaking. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you are a God who speaks. Even when we cannot hear, you still pursue us. Lord, we know that through this story where you bring yourself into this world to pursue after us. We thank you, Lord, that even when we fall short and we're surprised by you being there, that you still call us by name. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who loves us so deeply, that you give us all these examples of encounter in the Bible that we may read and we may know in our hearts, not just in our heads, that you come and speak. You want to be a part of our lives. So Lord, we invite you. I invite crazy things to happen, Holy Spirit to break out in these different families of our church. We ask for deeper encounter, more of you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.